Welcome to episode 3 of the Savage Geese podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Deb from Andy the Lab, a YouTube channel that focuses on her Labrador testing vehicles and other products. Deb, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Now, our introduction was quite strange. It was over the internet. Big surprise.
Very true.
So let's talk about the interesting part of how you meet people on the internet. I clearly watch a lot of automotive channels, and you had reached out to me a while back, I think on Instagram, and you're like, I don't remember particularly what you said. I think it was more like, you know, your channel is the worst. I hate it.
Probably. Sounds like something I would say.
And then, you know, later on we got to talking after a while, and I started watching Deb's videos, and I know she had been doing it for a while, but when you just see it, the new stuff, I was so impressed with her technical ability and videography. And I know she's doing something completely different, and having a pet involved is very hard to do. So tell me a little bit how you got started and where you're at today with your video channel.
Sure. So really, Andy the Lab started because I love my dog, and I really wanted to capture her personality the best, and that was through film. And so I really started off with the mindset of just creating some videos for my husband and I to have and enjoy. Little did I know that people were actually going to watch them. And so basically, my initial videos were really just kind of these adventure videos to music, no talking. And that was pretty much it. And at the same time, we had also had an Instagram for Andy, and that started growing, which ultimately kind of led to more opportunities to receive products from companies. And so while I literally could care less about following numbers and how many people like our content, it did provide a door of opportunity for companies to send us things like robotic vacuums or GoPro action cameras or, you know, the new dog bone on the market. And if I believed in the product, I said, yeah, sure, send it. And I took that as an opportunity to just better my filmmaking and my storytelling. So that's kind of how Andy the Lab initially got started, with really no intention of, really no thought of even falling into the automotive space.
So that's, you know, this always really interests me, because the whole concept of the influencer thing, where, and I've heard this before, you hit a certain number on Instagram or social media, and then all of a sudden these companies somehow magically find you and say, hey, promote our products. And, you know, you wonder how genuine that whole system is. Do you think, you know, how do you feel about that? I mean, do you feel like you're just being used to kind of like show products, or do you think there's
the way I looked at it was, like I said, I never once would call myself an influencer. I don't think of myself like that. That really has no value to me. But I thought of it as, if they're offering to send me if Insta 360 is offering to send me their new camera, I could totally use that in what I'm filming. And so sure, I'll take it. And it was, at the time, it was filling the need for content. Cause that's the other thing. You make this decision to step out and start making videos, but you need to come up with content. So if a company would send me something that, again, I wasn't taking everything, I had to believe in it, I had to see some sort of value or purpose in it, then it was just giving me the content that I needed. And so that's what I would film and I would put it up. So I wasn't bothered by the fact that they weren't paying me, because I needed the content. And to be honest with you, a lot of the equipment I still use to this day in auto.
Okay. So I mean, I don't want to get hung up on that part, yeah, because it's kind of an interesting segue. So then the car
but
stuff.
Because started. Of that, that's how I got into auto. So at the time, we were we lived by a local company, a fleet company, that basically gave me an opportunity to do a vehicle on the premise that I was an influencer. I was there was no, I wasn't part of press. There was no automotive reviewing in my history. So they just gave me an opportunity to film. And then that's how I got into it. It kind of
Okay.
slowly started to snowball from there.
So now you're how many cars have you done? Do you even have a number, a rough number?
Well, we started, our first vehicle was back in February 2018. And at the time we did, let's see, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30. I mean, we're at least 50 vehicles in,
Okay.
45 vehicles in. I was getting basically a vehicle like once a month, once every other month, because I was not considered press and I was considered an influencer. They had this rule, I was told, that I could only get a vehicle actually one every 3 months. And so, but then we started making relationships with the manufacturer slowly, and then more opportunities started to come up. So it really wasn't until November of this past year that I started to get a vehicle every week to film.
Okay. So it took you some time to get to this place. Now, I think the most important thing is, like, obviously there's the business side, but there's the content side.
Yep.
So the one of the reasons why, I personally, and I think I started saying this, your recent content from a editing standpoint, filmography standpoint, or however you videography, however you want to
Yep.
put it, I really kind of scraped through every single one of your recent videos over the past 2 months. And, when we talked, I talked to Deb on the phone and I was like, look, how are you doing this stuff? Who are you doing this yourself? How much work are you putting into it? Because it's just strange to see, where you started and where you're at now. And I was completely blown away about the amount of technical ability and work that you put into. And when I talked to you on the phone, you kind of explained how you've evolved your process. Do you want to walk through the listeners, like how much work you're putting into this and how you're getting your inspiration for trying to integrate Andy, your lab, into car videos and how difficult that really is to bring value and like a different side that everybody else is doing?
Yeah, sure. I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty much like a one-woman show. And really, the evolution, it comes over time. You only get better through experience. And so, going back to our first video, like, I don't know what your first video was like, but my first video, I personally think now looking back, it's like horrible. I'm mortified at it at one point in one aspect, but the other aspect, I'm like, wow, like I really have grown. You can really kind of see the progression. That first vehicle, it was dropped off. I think it was probably like the worst week of weather. It was pouring rain. It was technically still winter. I had never filmed a vehicle in my life before, and I have this vehicle inside my garage, and I'm like totally intimidated. Like, what am I doing? Like, what the heck am I gonna do with this thing? And I remember at the time seeing some. I've learned a lot on YouTube. I'm self-taught everything between editing, video, all that stuff. And so I remember watching some YouTube videos and seeing some effects, and I'm like, what is this? And I realized it was a green screen. So I decided, well, it's pouring rain outside. I have a ton of green, chroma green material. So I wrapped my entire inside of the garage in chroma green and basically made a backdrop of like New York City. And so if you go back to that video, you literally see like New York City. But if you pay real close attention, little did I know, all my like close-up like cinematics all have like a green like shine to it because it's reflecting the green screen from the background. But the reason why I bring that up is because, I had to like put myself in a very uncomfortable situation. Like, I think that's important when you're like making film is you can't get comfortable. Like, in order to get to the next level, like you have to push yourself. And so from that experience I learned, and through the course of time, I used to film with certain cameras. Like, now my equipment has completely evolved and changed, but it's only happened because of experience. If the rigs that I have now, back then I'd be like completely overwhelmed. Like I wouldn't even know what to do. And so I feel with me, like when it comes to Andy, you know, when I get a vehicle, I really try to think about the lives of people. And like when they watch my video, yes, I want them to see like what it looks like with a dog. But I also want them to have an understanding of how this would really integrate with their daily life in a practical manner. And so that's why I film kind of the way I do.
And yeah, so that's kind of the segue. Like you're so clearly when if you watch Deb's videos, you're gonna see they're different. I mean, they're different visually, and you can tell your influence is heavily influenced by, you know, different techniques from different people, and but you also have your own eye. But it's also trying to show people because people are nuts about their pets. I mean, it just it's reality, and I think there's not anybody really doing that to show, you know, this is how pet friendly a vehicle is. You don't pretend to go, you know, you do a good job about showing the basics of a car and, you know, the key features that probably the real world would want to know. But you put it in a different angle. You make it accessible, I think, for the female audience, which really doesn't exist very well. If there's females doing it, they're more like journalistic style typically than, you know, I wouldn't hate to say lifestyle, but you know, you do a good job. It's a different angle. And I think there's going to be a lot of value to people that are looking for that because it's not intimidating as well. Like you could literally sit there and learn just enough, like basically like what Doug DeMuro does, and the guy has, you know, millions of people watching his stuff, but you bring a lot of energy, and I think that's one of the weird things. When I was watching, I'm like, do you have that much energy in real life, or is that something that you have to purposely inject into your videos?
So I do tend to have energy, but I will say, you know, being in front of the camera is not easy for me. I don't particularly love, like, I don't need to be the center of attention. And so, you know, there are days that I have to like give myself a pep talk because at the end of the day, like, you have to look at like the big picture. And actually, I listened to your podcast with Micah, and he said something that just like totally stood out to me. And he said that when it comes to video in the automotive space, there's so many pathways to success, and that he recognized that there's value in different pathways. I mean, his videos compared to your videos are different, just like mine are different from the both of yours. And I really appreciated that because, you know, sometimes I get comments that suggest I should be, it's they're critical based on what car videos are typically. Some sort of like automotive review, you know, a male standing around a car.
Right.
And I'm doing this, I have to create a different angle because if I were to just recite things that you say in your videos or Micah says in his videos, people are just going to call me a copycat. And that I get are, you know, I get really nice comments that are encouraging, but then I also get comments that are like, you know, women shouldn't be reviewing auto. I don't know why they're wasting their time with women. Just go back to mopping and cleaning.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people aren't necessarily, they're coming to my video maybe with an expectation to see something. And when they see something different, you're going to have some that value that and some that don't. But being a woman and being in this very male-dominated space, I have to do something different. And so by having a dog, but being a female having a dog, that alone, yes, is very different. But I'm also trying to push the bar for myself from a cinematography standpoint. Like, that's really where my passion comes from. You know, like, I want my content to stand out from a storytelling, from a cinematic standpoint. And so that's what really drives me. So being in front of the camera is honestly probably the hardest part for me. Being behind the camera is what I really like. Probably feel the most comfortable.
So I think that you know, like what Micah said about it, there are different pathways, and what you're doing is original. Now, of course, you can only, you know, I made this comment to him. I mean, there's only so much you can do, right, with a fixed object. But that's what's interesting about when people are creative. And And I had this conversation with Deb on the phone, I think it was like a month ago. We talked for, I don't know, it was like 2 hours or something, 2 or 3 hours. And you had told me about how much time and obsession that you have, like trying to learn new techniques. And I think that's the biggest thing that's gonna to shine through. Not only is your content different, and it's not gonna be for everybody, and you're not trying to be for everybody. And I think that's the beauty of what you are doing, is you're original, you're yourself, and you have your own angle, and you're putting in the energy visually, not to just, you can tell every video there's an improvement, there's a change, and you're pushing yourself. And I think that's why you're going to have a really high level of success once there. Well, I mean, you already have a level of success, but I think once that name gets out there, once more people start to watch it, you're going to have a different demographic than a lot of the auto journalists will. And that alone is so important because we're all doing the same thing. Like if you look at me, straight pipes, throttle house, Matt Moran, Engineering Explained, we're all doing very similar versions of the same thing. And at some point, you could watch all of our videos and you're basically getting the same message. It's just different personalities. So you're bringing, a totally different perspective, a different angle. You're not obsessed with the technical details and the enthusiast side of it.
But with that said, if I don't mind, so what do you consider yourself? Like, if someone were to say, "Hey, Mark, like, nice to meet you. What do? Like, how do you describe who you are? Like, what defines you?"
I think a lot of it is focused on engineering and the technical side of automobiles, and now I'm going to be doing a lot more in technology because that's a huge part of my interest. So I don't really know you because the lines are blurred, and I know that you're finding that between journalism, storytelling, the technical side, and then of course, you have your dog. Or Andy, so that's I don't think there's a clear definition, and I don't like to get obsessed with defining it because then you put yourself in a box of what you're really able to do, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted it to be Savage Geese, because Savage Geese is really ambiguous. It doesn't have to be cars, even though it's heavily focused on cars right now. It could be whatever I want it to be, and you said something very plainly. Like, if you're not pushing yourself to do something different, you're going to stagnate eventually, creatively, everything. And if you're not pushing it, you're never going to grow. And I guess it's easy to define growth by numbers and all that. But if you're obsessed with that, then, you're not really pushing yourself creatively. And that's my biggest thing is, like, I don't, the last comment I want to see is you're boring, you're stuck to a formula. You're doing the same thing over and over again, which a lot of it is. I don't want to be doing that. So, how do you deal with that? How do you not?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I cha that challenges me is that, this space is, it's like this automotive review, like auto journalist, auto reviewer, and I don't consider myself that. I've never once claimed that I'm not an auto expert. I've never claimed I am, and I don't even consider myself an automotive journalist. I consider myself like a budding filmmaker, and I'm in the automotive space. And I want to, my content, it covers, yes, I have the female side, I have the dog side, but I'm also trying to prove through my work that I can deliver a story and, showcase whatever vehicle it is. And so, for me, I think sometimes I struggle with, I need to talk. I need to have more information because people are tuning in because they want a review. They need a review. And then I find myself sometimes when I'm talk, I don't like listen, hearing myself talk. And if I'm editing and I'm bored, I'm thinking, who the heck is going to want to watch this? And so it's always like a delicate, like a this fine line between I need to provide enough information for people, I guess, to be satisfied, but I also want to stay true to where I feel my calling is and like where I'm supposed to be pushing myself. And, and I think that's something that's always playing in the back of my head, which can totally trip you up at times. I mean, I think the key is you have to stay true to what you feel. Is, if you start to make things based on what you think people want, it's not going to sustain you. You have to do with what's in your heart. And so that's why I keep really trying to push myself more down a lot more of like the cinematic route of it, because I enjoy the storytelling. I enjoy the fact that you can give me the most exotic car. I mean, you say cars are cars, right? Like at some point, like what, you just keep saying the same things over. But I really want to stand out that you could give me the most exotic car or the most basic economy car, and I will make that thing interesting. And that's like really what I'm like focusing, trying to like really achieve.
And, I think that's a good place to take a break for a second. Unfortunately, Deb, you know this, you got to pay the bills, and it's time for an advertisement. So we're back. And so you talked about pushing the boundaries of creativity, and you don't. So I'm curious, what's the long-term plan for you? What if you're gonna want to be a storyteller, like filmmaker first, and you can take an absolute junkyard special or an exotic car and still make it interesting, like what do you want to do long-term? Is it the car stuff? Is it products, or is it something else?
Sure. I mean, at this point, I would honestly love to move from like, I'm working with the PR people with the manufacturers. I'd love to also strike a relationship with marketing teams with each of the manufacturers to come up with, these ideas and stories. And basically, like the work that I'm putting in right now, I'm trying to prove like I can do this. And this is just with like a one person. Like if I had actually like a small little team of people to help me out, like I could achieve way more that I want in my mind. There's just certain things that you're limited to when it's just you. I do pull my husband in on weekends to get some driving filming done, but even with that, like I've really started just doing a lot more of my own driving with drone work, because it's just sometimes a lot easier to film when most people are at work during the day and the roads are more empty. So I try to take advantage of those moments. So I think, my ultimate goal is I don't have like an end. I just want to keep getting better and better and pushing the bar and seeing, where the doors of opportunity open from that.
What do you think the biggest problem in automotive marketing is? Because you mentioned that you would like to work with marketing teams, and I'm sure you've seen plenty of commercials, and you have like the GM ads, which are just unbelievable, and some of the other creative marketing, or like Mazda, they're so focused on elegance and driving. What do you connect with the most in terms of the advertising scene?
Well, I find it extremely funny when I start, well, to be honest with you, I don't really watch a ton of TV. I watch a lot of YouTube, but I laugh when I see tons. I mean, there are dogs in so many commercials. And I think the key is making vehicles relatable to life. It is, text and specs are extremely important, but there's a whole other side to it. And when you make your content more relatable, when you can envision your life with that vehicle, when you can see it play out across events that you partake in your life, that to me sends a big message. And so I feel that that is important in the work that I do. And if I were to, working with along marketing companies, it's targeting real life, real life experiences and, applications to make your content come to be more relatable. That's the word I'm looking for, relatable.
Okay. Do you believe that there do you feel like marketing is dishonest as a whole in the industry, or do you feel like it's pretty accurate?
I mean, it's an interesting question. It's actually not something that I think about much in terms of like how the actual companies are marketing their own products. I mean, they're obviously going to be skewed. When I think of how I market their stuff, it's I get comments that people tell me like I'm too positive because I'm actually not critical, like I'm not showing negatives about a vehicle.
Why do you think, is that just, what do you think that is? Do you think, because this is a really fickle point, because, I mean, I don't want to get too far into it, but All right. We're getting press vehicles, right, from manufacturers for a lot of these cars. And I think there's this unspoken expectation that, like, okay, there's a level of journalistic integrity you have to have, which you're not technically a journalist. So you don't have to follow the same script, which is good. Do you think people want to know negatives, or do you just think they just want to know all the features? Like, how do you strike a balance?
Well, I feel people are expecting to hear your opinion. I'm not saying you in general, just saying whoever's making the video. And the way I look at it is there's a car for everyone. So I am not trying to point out the good, bad, and the ugly. That's not my job to tell someone whether or not they should buy this. Because frankly, I do feel there's a vehicle for everyone out there. So I am positive because that's how I am. I'm positive. And I think that's okay. I mean, what do you think?
I guess it was a one-sided question because I don't want to answer that. I don't know. To me, I feel like my issue is, I think just being around a lot of this stuff for too long, and namely in the technology field, I feel this compelling sense of responsibility to be honest with people about the realities that products are not perfect and that they're oversold their capabilities, that everything has a glossy coat of paint over it to a point that is absolutely absurd. And the majority of the public literally does not know any better about how things work, the way that they're made. And I just feel kind of grossed out when I see a lot of the overt marketing and pushing of products that are so expensive that people have to go in so much debt for to buy, only to have a bunch of problems later on, or things don't work as they expected them to work or believe that they were being sold. So for me, I really have to dig into that because I want people to understand that things are not as they seem completely, that their expectations are leveled out. And my ability to kind of do that throughout my life, to kind of dig into things like that, to find these things that are good and bad, I feel compelled. I have to do that. Now, I understand that people don't like that. If you're a really positive person and you really don't see these things, unless you're on the side of the road and have to pay thousands of dollars to fix them, and you still are in debt for a car. I mean, that's usually the only way people care about it, is when they're wronged. But I mean, I don't know. Like, people complain all the time, like, you're too negative. And then obviously people are going to complain that you're too positive. So what is the balance there? Where's the level of honesty start and end?
Well, and I think it's interesting because, and I'm not even looking at it from that perspective. Like, I have faith that if you're going to purchase a vehicle, okay, right? A lot of people are going to type in YouTube, whatever vehicle, SUV, whatever they're interested in looking at. At the end of the day, like, this is research. They're researching. I'm not, I'm showcasing the features of the vehicle. Yes, I'm not saying this is terrible or this is fantastic. But that's up to you to decide if it's going to work for you. Some people hate touch screens. I love a touch screen. So, by me saying, oh, this is so great, I love this touch screen compared to like, I hate those little scroll things. Like, what value? Like, who cares? Like, I don't care what it, to me, my opinion doesn't matter. I'm trying to basically show you if you were to have this vehicle, and you have a large dog, like this is literally what it will look like. This is how your dog is going to fit comfortably. It's just like the facts in that respect.
Okay.
It's up to you as a consumer to determine whether or not this is, you still have to go. I would hope you're still going, sitting in the car, test driving it, not being swayed by a salesman and believing, a whole. Their whole like, gimmick about the car. Like you at the end of the day still have to make your own decision. I don't feel like I have that burden. I'm trying to showcase the vehicle in terms of its whatever, its beauty through the film while also highlighting why it's dog friendly.
Gotcha.
I think what you do is you. And you do you great. If I tried to be you, oh my gosh, it would be terrible. Like Honestly, the way that you can just sit in a car or stand under a car and talk about it in the fluidity and the expertise that you have is a total gift. And so I encourage you to keep going that route. But my way is just a different way, and I think that's fine.
Well, I think that's why you're going to be successful, or very successful down the road. I think it's just a matter of time before, your popularity gets up, because it is very different to watch from anything that I've seen. And I would say, I have a friend, he has a dog, and he's like, he's looking for a car. He's been looking for a car for a while. His name's Mike, and he's like, oh, I got this. He's got a husky-ish dog, and the dog loves to run around in the mud and dirt. And he's looking at a car, and his back seat's covered in hair. So a two-seater, like a Miata, he would love a Miata, which he doesn't fit in. But there's nobody talking about like dog accessibility, like pet accessibility. And the way that you do it is, it's not just like, oh, here's Wolfie, I'm gonna put him in the back seat. You actually make him a character. You give him life and a person. Just he's embodies part of your channel. Do you think that's gonna be difficult going like long term doing that, trying to make it? Because it's got to be hard to shoot with her, right?
You know, she is like my sidekick. And honestly, because Andy gets treated like a human, so I think she kind of takes on like the role that she thinks she's one of us. So when we pack the bags to go, she's like, all right, I'm going. Let's go. Where are we going? Sometimes, like I said, my beginning videos were of Andy, so she's used to having a GoPro strapped on her back, a camera on the top, a camera on the bottom. She just rolls with it. I would never put her in a situation where I felt she was stressed. And so, that's why I hand select every vehicle I get. And I did start kind of like a secondary segment called, so we lab test vehicles. And at the end of the video, I say, Andy, is it lab approved? And then she always gives me a high five because let's just say most of the time it's lab approved. She's comfortable, she feels secure, and that's a big thing with her. But I also started another segment to kind of expand called Lab Mom Tested, where I'm taking a more kind of exotic vehicle and putting my own twist on it. So, the Acura NSX was a great example of that. I didn't really talk about any specs on that video. I just wanted to prove, could you have this as a daily driver? And I think if you watch the video, you'll see a week's worth of groceries totally fits in that car. And I don't go through all that toilet paper in 1 week. But some people are like, what the heck? What are you feeding an army? I mean, what can I say? I'm Italian. I like food. But often I include that in my videos as a visual. Again, like going to the supermarket, it's not revolutionary, but rather than just say, hey, you can fit a ton back here, I like to pair a visual because I'm a visual learner. Everyone knows what a roll of paper towels, what the size of that is. So if I put that in a center console and pop that open and you see a roll of paper towels filling the entire thing up, you have a good sense of what size that console is. And so I try to do more examples like that because A, it's more fun and interesting for me. And I feel like it helps the viewer really get a sense of what it's really like.
Yeah, I think that I've noticed that with your videos. You're really do good with the visual aids. And I think you.
Like I'm not trying to be silly and be stupid. Like I there's thought behind it, so and I'm you know, you're And you're going to get comments both ways, right? Great or not so great. I mean, you should hear some of the comments I get that get taken down. I mean, they're so inappropriately ridiculous.
Do you
But
let that affect you, the comments
no.
part of it, or do you let it
No,
guide you?
and it's
How do you feel about that?
so it's interesting because I just did a podcast regarding comments with David Obuchinsky, and basically, what I was saying was, I could care less, honestly, what people say. It really doesn't bother me. And my husband really does a lot of like the behind the scenes like work in terms of communication and even just managing comments and things like that, so I can really focus on my content. So that's like a huge blessing. So I actually like the real intense ones, I don't even see.
Okay.
It wasn't until this past week that I opened them up for the first time and read some of them out loud. And they're just so, I mean, they're so ridiculous. But it really has no impact on, how I move forward, or it's not going to like put me in a corner and I'm like crying hysterically. I mean, I'm sure you get comments and you just got to laugh at them. I mean, it's just, I feel bad for the people that feel the need to have to say really negative things, because honestly, like, I don't know what's going on in their life. And, if they have to put me down in the way that they do, like, I feel bad. They must be going through some hard times on their side.
Do you so your husband does a lot of the moderation of the comments for you? Do you
Yeah.
so I guess the question is, because this is it's social media at the end of the day, right? YouTube is social media. That's your primary platform, or Instagram. I get in these conversations with people, and it's fickle, because comments can be very, very helpful, and they can also be very hurtful at the same time. So as a creator, you're kind of in this upward motion right now. Like you're probably never going to reach your full potential or your peak, because that's what makes you special. You're always pushing. But at the same time, do you feel like there's stuff you can learn from the comments? Have you gotten to that point yet? Or are you just kind of toning them out and doing your own thing, or tuning them out and doing your own
Oh,
thing?
totally. I mean, some of the feedback is fantastic. I mean, my earlier videos, it sounds like I'm like screaming at the camera. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why am I talking so loud? The
Yeah.
camera's right there, Deb. Like, what are you doing? Like, obviously, when people are like, can you lower the pitch a little bit? It's a little loud. It's a little, it hurts my ears. I'm like, yeah, of course. I got to work on that,
Yeah.
Actually, the other day, one of my other videos, I was like, I have to like, harness my inner savage geese and be a little bit more like calm sometimes.
Put people, yeah, I
Like,
mean, put people to sleep.
because I mean, well, no, but he only put me to sleep like a couple times, but
Oh, good.
I'm just kidding. But like, my point is, yes, I do take like I criticism is a great way to like grow and apply things. And people will even comment like, oh, like they'll like be like, wow, this is like so much better. Thanks so much. Like, people respect when you actually comment back. Like, people really respect that. So, yes, but the silly things like, you should go commit suicide and things like that. Come on, you think what? I'm not going to listen to any of that junk.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because and I wanted to bring this up. Not, I made this mistake with I had Elizabeth on, who's a BMW owner, and we got in this conversation about the females in the automotive industry. And unfortunately, I didn't guide that conversation enough, where it kind of I think people got rubbed the wrong way. But when you have a male viewership with cars, most of the time, which I don't know what your demographics are for male
Very
versus
much
female.
male right now.
Okay. So
Yep.
you have to walk this fine line, and I don't want to get political or anything, but the female element in a male-dominated industry, and much like it would be the complete, I worked in female-dominated industries, and it was very difficult being a male. So, you're going to probably just naturally get some of these insane comments from people that either are just looking for attention. I think a lot of it is males want the attention from the females, and they will say stupid shit like teenagers would, like, hey, you're a piece of ass, or whatever it is, or just like you were saying, go kill yourself. I mean, it's off the deep end. I think you're going to get a lot more of those than I would as a guy, and I don't really
Definitely.
lie. I mean, really, it's there's got to be some really good psychology behind it. But how do you deal with that part of it? I mean, you're playing to a male audience, but then again, you don't want to attract the crazy stuff. But again,
Exactly. And so I am very mindful of like, things that I wear, and when I turn on the camera, a lot of times I don't show my derriere, because then I get like flooded with like really inappropriate content, And so I always have things in the back of my mind. But at the same aspect, you're gonna get comments. You're always gonna get comments. You could be the best at what you do and get comments, that are gonna be terrible. So I just choose to honestly not listen to them. I don't have time.
Makes sense. I mean, you take a
And
more positive approach, right? I mean, you and I are
you
probably
have to.
a
You
different
have
that way.
to.
So if you're going to take a positive approach to it,
And I'm not confrontational.
okay.
So I would much rather diffuse it and kill it back with, okay, let's just say the really inappropriate stuff that gets taken down, okay? Or just is flagged and, removed from YouTube. But the things that are, not as inappropriate, just stupid, we'll just respond back in like a witty way, like show more legs next time, then you'll get more views. And it's like, oh, well, we do show our legs, all four of them, and they're quite hairy, so it's just kind of responding back like, one person was like, oh my God, I'm so nauseated that you ate from the same fork you fed your dog with. Or people will be like, abuse, you're abusing your dog. And it's like you just have to respond back with something witty to like make them smile. And then it's funny because they do start to turn around and they're like, oh, this was actually a beautiful video. I loved it.
Yeah,
So.
that's the mystery of the whole social media aspect. And like for me, I've started to embrace it. I think it was a video recently. I think the Hellcat or the Red Eye, whatever it was. One of the biggest troll comments I pinned because it was blatant trolling. And whether it had malicious intention or not, it just, it's just part of the culture of what it is. But I mean, I don't have to deal with a lot of the stuff that you're ever going to deal with. I'm going to get comments as a guy, the typical stereotype stuff like you're ugly, you're fat, you're balding, just the low brow crap that's like, okay, oh boo, that's really, oh, that's stuff you deal with your whole life. But I feel like the female side, it gets a lot more malicious. And
I mean, can you imagine if I, and that's, I mean, when I film, like, I can't just like roll out of bed, put on a black t-shirt, and go stand in front of a camera with a hat on.
right.
Like, I have to like do my hair, put makeup on. Like, I have to. If I don't, I mean, well, that'd be pretty ugly sight to see. I mean, I think my viewership would probably be in the negatives, but,
I mean, but
and
that's a
just,
good question because as a female, right, there's different standards and people don't want to say this. People don't want
right,
to
but
talk
it's
about this whole
true.
thing. There's a different set of standards, at least in the US, where, if you come out there looking like, like you said, you are just kind of thrown together. You don't put makeup on or whatever it is, right? People are gonna be, oh, you're a slob. You're an ugly,
Exactly.
slur. And then if you do your makeup and you present yourself well, then oh,
Now
you're
I'm a slut. Yep.
So why I don't understand how this. Why is the culture still like this? Do you think it's a combination of like the female part? Do you think it's males? Do you think it's media? Like, I'd be interested on in your take of how you deal with this and how could you potentially make it better? Or like, how do you educate your audience to tr like, you can't control everything, but how do you educate your audience that certain things are not okay?
Honestly, I just think that there's a lot of negativity and evil. And I personally think the answer is love. And I don't care. You could say the nastiest thing to me. My goal is to respond back with love. Because it doesn't feel good to be nasty to someone back. It's certainly not going to make me feel comfortable if I say something negative and now late at night I'll be like harping on it. I'll be worried about someone trying to like come back and like up the ante now because people are crazy. So I'm just gonna, like I said, I can't worry about why it's happening or, if things are this way, maybe it, I just have to be love, period. And that's why a lot of my video, if my videos start to turn into like at the end of the day, like you don't smile at all and you're like, ugh, then I haven't achieved that part of my goal. Like, I want people to have joy. And when people actually comment, like, loved it, I was smiling throughout. This was like the literally people have written, this has been like the joy of my day. I'm like, yes, that is what the answer to my prayer. Like, that's what I want people to leave feeling.
So I guess that's what I was really trying to get at from you is, watching your video, personally, from me being in this kind of industry and being in where I'm at, like that's what I get out of your videos. I get the passion that you have for the filmmaking, which I share, and I think we're very, very similar that way, and our mindset, but we are totally opposites in our direction of how we view things. I think that's what I really appreciate about your videos is that you're doing something that I can't do, and that I can tell that you will make a lot of people happy. Even if, it's the Andy's aspect, and whether it's Andy, 20 other dogs being integrated, however you do it, I think that angle that you're trying to bring brings a lot of positivity and can help a lot of people turn it around. Being a female and having that, being aware. And not trying to preach a message as well. Like you're not trying to jam anything down people's throats. You're just being genuine. And that's definitely much needed in this space. So I definitely I appreciate that about what you're trying to do.
Well, thank you for that encouragement. I would say, like, even if like there are women out there that are thinking about doing something and like, wanting to get into filming and that kind of stuff. For me, like taking a step out and putting myself out there was like terrifying to honestly, like even before auto, like putting my face on YouTube, like very much like terrified about that. But I felt like it was like the direction that I was called to be walking in. And so I feel like you can't be afraid of what people are going to say. If you feel like there's something in your heart and it's telling you to go this way, you just have to like take a leap of faith and step out and just see, put yourself out there. And negativity, you just can't let that hold you back. You can't let your insecurities hold you back. You got to just like keep going forward and believe that something is going to come out of it.
And so if there's people out there, and this is a question from a creative aspect, and I would focus this more on you and the female side, if there has to be, especially the younger generation. I know I'm older than you, but we're not too far apart. We kind of came from, we were around before all the social media stuff, pretty much. So now all the younger generation is like they're born and bred into it, and it's like a passion. They would love to be involved in this. If there's somebody, specifically females, that you could, if you were going to send a message to them, what's the best like advice, or what's like the best thing you could pass along to them to make them feel better or more comfortable, so they're not like afraid of the maliciousness that's out on social media?
I mean, first and foremost, I think you have to, like I said, if you have an idea, you have to take that step, that leap of faith. But you also have to find people that are going to believe in you and encourage you. Because I would not be here today if it were not for my husband and my family, like that had my back. Because there are going to be days, like even if you know, like, oh, like I'm called to go in this direction, like there's going to be days where you're going to be like, I can't do this. Or like I have n like creative block, like you just like, what am I going to how am I going to do this vehicle differently, like what I don't know what to do. But when you are surrounding with people that like remind you of like what you've done and like where you're going and like what you can do and your potential, it just like kind of helps like light that fire. And the other thing is like you have to be okay with being terrible in the beginning, like, and I mean that with like all like genuineness. Like your videos should be really bad in the beginning because you're new at this, and be okay with that because through the process is where you really learn and where you really start to see your skills like progress. And YouTube is 100% a marathon. It is totally you, it is not a sprint. So if you're just getting into this because you think you're going to like make all this money, it's just not going to that's just not going to work out. Like you can't be stuck on it for those reasons. And I think if you really just focus on your content, improving your skills, you're going to find great reward in that. And the other thing is, like, when you do feel maybe overwhelmed, or if there's someone that tells you, like, oh, you're going to be a YouTuber, like, okay. Like, I think that's the biggest thing is, like you said, we're older. So, like, people are like, oh, YouTube. Like, they think you're like trying to be like a teeny bopper or something. And like, I'm just using that YouTube as my platform right now for my videos. But you can't like let that kind of stuff like put you down and like kind of, I guess, stop you from like what you're trying to create and make. And so it's like moments like that where you have to like take a step back and reflect, like, okay, no, what am I doing? And like for me, when I find like I'm like monologuing too much, I'm like, oh my God, I can't do this. I hate this. Like, this isn't what I want to do. And it's like, wait, take a step back. Like, what are you trying to do? It's like, I need more of Andy. Like, get Andy in this more, like more of Andy. And even people will comment, like, we want to see more of Andy, like more of Andy next time. And so like that kind of also helps like recenter me. It's like, no, what's the focus of this video? Like, a big part of it is dog-friendly features. Andy's got to get in it. And then the more creative you get in filming, it kind of like lights that fire. And then you just like, trailblaze on to the next.
So there's two parts that I want to ask you because I'm going to close this out. The first part is when I was asking you what the advice was for people that want to be creative. I want to clarify this. We both have real backgrounds and jobs outside of social media, or we did. I have had a real career. I have a real backup plan where I could go back into the corporate world and work next week if I wanted to, if this did not work out. So that to me is always a safety net. And I think, as you get older, you realize how important that is. For you, you also, you have an education, you have also a background. Did you want to speak to that at all so people understand the kind of where you're
Yeah,
coming from?
sure. So I'm a speech language pathologist, and I actually spent the past 8 years like specializing in infant and toddler feeding and swallowing disorders, working in the NICUs and the hospitals, like rehab and in home. And I mean, I still have my license, and continue with those continuing education credits. But right now, like, and I started decreasing those hours, but now I'm doing this full time. But I still believe, I don't know what the future holds. And I'm not saying that this isn't going to pan out. My point is, these two worlds very well could collide. And I'm just really just in the moment right now because I can. I'm just focusing on my skills, my content, pushing that. And we'll see what tomorrow brings. The big thing with me is like you have to have peace in what you're doing. So if you were thinking about starting something like this, you don't just do it because, oh, I'm just gonna let me just do it. Like, you have to feel like a calling. And like, if at any point my peace is no longer there, then I gotta take a step back and like reevaluate the situation here. So don't go into this just because you think it's cool. You have to, it won't sustain you. You have to go into it if you really feel like that's where the doors are leading you.
Yeah, and I think that's a really solid point. And kind of what I was getting at is, you may want to do this stuff and there's literally no money in it. Like if you're going to start
Yeah,
from scratch,
zero.
you're like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be in social media, make a career out of that. If you don't have an initial plan, like a backup plan first, like either a real education or a formal job to do, it's going to break your heart. And the other thing is that you said, I think is really important. And this is something that a lot of people don't get is you don't just go and make videos or content and not have an idea of what you're doing. If you're not somewhat passionate about what you're doing, if you don't believe in what you're trying to do or you're not excited about it, you're gonna crash and burn. You can't make it for long term by copying other people, by not really having your own voice and your own passion, because that it's just you're just going through the motions. And I think that's what separates somebody kind of like what you're doing versus somebody that's just like, oh, what is everybody else doing and how do I cash in? You might be able to cash in short term. Like you said, it is a marathon. You can cash in short term, you can be there, but I don't think that you're going to be able to do it long term. And the other part is, you sometimes to get to where you're at, you have to go through some of the hard parts of life, like going through a real career, working a really shitty job. Sometimes it just takes seeing certain things, going through certain things to wake you up and being like, ah, you know what? I don't want to do that. And it kicks you in the ass to do better. And I'm sure for you, and it's a lot like me, my one of my biggest fears is not failure. And it's easy to fail in this. It's going back to doing what I did before that I was so kind of unhappy and unfulfilled with. That's my biggest fear. So it drives me to do better. Like it drives me to look in the mirror, look at what I'm doing. Like this is a shitty day. Like I hate standing out in the heat or in the rain or baking in a car to get
Well,
this stupid shot.
pair that with a 75-pound dog that's like dying of heat.
But I'm going to end that. Deb, thank you so much for coming on here. I know you've gone through a lot of headache with trying to get this technical part set up here, so I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you.
So we'll see you guys next on the next podcast and take a look at Andy the Lab on YouTube. It's going to change the way that you look at Labrador Retriever. Well, is it a Labrador Retriever?
Yes, she's an English lab.
Just watch Andy. She's gonna blow you away. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Mark.